from Nitrogen Management in Minnesota.
Presentation will load now. There you go.
I believe you're good. Use your arrows.
Yeah, thank you. So, hello everyone. My name is Gabriel. I'm a graduate student with Professor Fabian Fernandez at the University of Minnesota. And today I'm going to be talking a little bit about my research project. So, as we all know, nitrogen is the nutrient most required for corn production. And it's also the nutrient that is most prone to environmental losses. And despite its importance for corn production, even today there is not a consensus on the best ways to manage nitrogen fertilizer on corn. And in fact, of the rates applied, it's very common to find recovery rates lower than 50%. And some of the reasons for those low nitrogen use efficiencies are related to application timing. So usually there is a mismatch between the time nitrogen is made available to plants and the time plants actually demand it. Another reason is spatial variability. So flat rate applications of nitrogen, disregarding the fact that even within fields, there are some portions of the field that will require more nitrogen and some other portions will require less. And another reason is temporal variability. So weather changes every year, and these changes in weather influences crop nitrogen demands. So in order to overcome those issues, CANOP sensors have been proposed as a tool to improve nitrogen use efficiency. And CANOP sensors, they work under the assumption that plants are good integrators of factors like soil nitrogen and weather conditions and crop management. But CANOP sensors also have their limitations. As we could consider, when we take measurements early in the season, plants are not showing the deficiency symptoms yet, so we don't get good measurements. And we could make a comparison as if we were to measure the speed of two vehicles during a race. And one vehicle has a full tank, and the other vehicle has just a half tank. And if we were to measure the speed at the beginning of the race, both of them would be at the same speed, but later on, one would be able to go much farther than the other. And for plants, one of these fuels is soil nitrogen. So the objective of this study was to try to improve sensor-based measurements of nitrogen requirements with soil nitrogen. This study was conducted in 12 site years throughout Minnesota, and these locations, they have a range of soil texture. So these locations on the bottom, they have finer texture, while this one on the top has a more coarse texture. And these locations also have a different range of climatic conditions, as it gets drier and colder as we go from the southeast to northwest. Treatments were so a full nitrogen response curve from 0 to 215 kilograms per hectare. Measurements were soil nitrogen content at V4, V8, and V12 development stages as nitrate and as ammonium from 0 to 32 and 0 to 60 centimeters. We also collected CANOP sensing measurements at V4, V8, V12, and R1 with the SPED meter, Green Seeker NDVI, and Rapid Scan NDVI and NDRE. And we also measured grain yield at harvest. We determined the agronomic optimal nitrogen rate with a quadratic plateau model. And the optimum rate was the rate where the model reached the plateau. And nitrogen requirements for the different plots were given by the difference between the applied rate and the agronomic optimum. So as an example, let's consider this plot over here. So we applied 135 kilograms, and the optimum for this location was 200. So the nitrogen requirements for this plot was 65 kilograms per hectare. So this plot was short by 65 kilograms per hectare. We compared the usefulness of the different sampling times of nitrogen to improve predictive power, so sensor-based predictive power, with a stepwise regression. And I don't know if you are familiar with stepwise regressions, but basically we had a base model, so we had nitrogen requirements being predicted by sensor measurements, And with this stepwise model, we had not only the base model, but also a pool of other variables, which in this case were the different sampling times for soil nitrogen. And the model could choose these variables, not only one, but more than one, if it was found to improve significantly the predictive power. And then we compared the different sampling depths and types of soil nitrogen measurement. So we had sensor plus total inorganic nitrogen, which is nitrate plus ammonia at 0 to 30 and 0 to 60, or sensor plus just nitrate at 0 to 30 and 0 to 60. And we also compared different models to predict nitrogen requirements. So one of the models had just sensor measurements. The other had sensor measurements adjusted for soil nitrogen. And the last one was predicting nitrogen requirements based off just soil nitrogen. So let's go to the results. So we were interested in seeing how often the different timings were selected by the stepwise regression. So here in the y-axis, we have this the percent of stepwise regressions that selected the different sampling times for soil nitrogen to improve predictive power for the different types of soil nitrogen measurement and sampling depths. And what we found is that the V4 sampling time was selected most often, and that was a good indicator that this was the most informative sampling time. But not only we were interested in seeing how often the different sampling times were chosen, but also we wanted to see how the goodness of fit of the different models compared to each other. So in this figure here, we are looking at goodness of fit given by R-squared values in this case over different sampling times, sampling stages, and sensing tools. And the first thing that we can see here is that when we were predicting nitrogen requirements with just sensor measurements, the R-squared values were much lower. And when we had sensor measurements adjusted for soil nitrogen, the predictive power improved by a lot. And we can also see that the difference between the full stepwise model or just having just soil nitrogen at V4 wasn't that big. And in fact, of the increase in predictive power, so from sensor to the full stepwise, V4 soil nitrogen was responsible for 84% of the increase. So considering the much more simplicity of just soil sampling at V4, we decided to go to run further analysis with just V4 sampling for soil nitrogen. So after we determined that the V4 sampling stage was the most appropriate for soil nitrogen, we were interested in seeing how the different types of soil nitrogen measurements, so nitrate alone or nitrate plus ammonium given by total inorganic nitrogen, and also the different sampling depths, so either 0 to 30 or 0 to 60 centimeters, compared to each other. And in this table here, we have the R-squared values and the AAC value, which is a measure of residual. So the lower the AAC, the better the predictive power. So we can see that the best predictive power was given by sensor measurements adjusted for 0 to 6 centimeters nitrate plus ammonium. But we can also see that the much simpler 0 to 30 centimeters just nitrate wasn't that different from having the whole depth and also ammonium. And because of that, we also decided to run further analysis with just 0 to 30 centimeters nitrate and measure that before sampling stage, sampling time. So here in this figure, we are comparing the predictive power of the different models. So just with sensor measurements or sensor measurements adjusted for soil nitrate. So in this case, we are talking about V4, 0 to 30 centimeters just nitrate, or just soil nitrate 0 to 30 centimeters. And here we are looking at predictive power given by root mean squared error across different sampling stages and different tools. So the first thing we can see here is that sensors alone, their predictive power tend to decrease as we go from V4 to V8, except for Greenseeker and DDI. And when we adjusted the sensor measurements for soil nitrate, the predictive power increased by a lot. And and when we consider just soil nitrate, we get similar results when we are adjusting for soil nitrogen, when we are adjusting sensor measurements with soil nitrogen. So if we take a look at the V4 and V8, there isn't a big difference between predicting with just soil nitrate or with sensor measurements adjusted for soil nitrate for V4 and V8. And at V12 and R1, we see some potential for some of the tools like the SPAD meter and rapid scan and DRE. So these results were for quadratic plateau locations. We also had these results for linear locations, and the figure looks very similar to this. So here we are looking at some figures, so predicted values, fitted values, on observed values. The black line is the 1-to-1 line, so we wanted to see values, the points as close as we could to that line, and the dotted line is the fitted line. And here we are predicting nitrogen requirements with rapid scan and DRE measured at V4, adjusted for soil nitrate. So the root mean squared error is 42, and the R squared is 67. When we go from V4 to V8, the same sensor, the figure looks very similar, and also the root mean squared error and the R squared value. And let's keep these numbers in mind for a little bit. So root mean squared error of 42 and 39, and R squared values of 67 or 68 for sensor measurements adjusted for soil nitrate. In this figure, we are looking at predicting nitrogen requirements with just soil nitrate. And we can see that the figure also looks similar, and as well, the root mean squared error and the R squared value. So for V4 and V8, for these results show that under those conditions, soil nitrate was more interesting. And here we are looking at V12 and R1. So we get a little bit of improvement in predictive power given by the root mean squared error, a little bit lower, and also the R squared values. So, conclusions. It was most appropriate to adjust sensor measurements with V4 soil nitrate at 0 to 30 centimeters, given the more simplicity of this type of sampling. And predictions of nitrogen requirement with soil nitrate alone were more informative than predictions with CANOP sensors in the study at V4 and V8, should say. And it may be worth adjusting sensor measurements with soil nitrate at V12 in R1 development stages and future studies, validation with field experiments. So thank you, and I'll be happy to answer questions.
This is Gabriel. Any questions? One right there.
I just wonder, the soil sampling is laborious, so the question is how widely spaced can you take a few soil measurements and then combine that with the sensor measurements to correct for spatial variation?
Yeah, that's a good question. So in this study, we collected by plot 4 cores per plot. But under field conditions, it would require many more samples to get a representative one. And I don't have this number on top of my head, the number of samples that would be required.
Okay.